righty, saddle up. Hi, this is Banner, and thank you for joining me for 10 minutes of getting ready. Hopefully some encouragement in the Word. Hey, that song you just heard, that instrumental that kicked this show off, that's a song called I'm a Hillbilly, and it's off the 11-song CD project that hopefully will be out in about 2 months, and that's a project, that's songs that I've written. All 11 songs on it were written by me, with the exception of one, which is an arrangement of an old public domain song called Swing Low Sweet Chariot, and that's all coming out here in about 2 months. It's the mastering house right now, so just be alert for that. Okay, so we're all facing the day, and we're facing the week, and I'm recording this as we're right on the verge of the beginning of a new work week, and I want to encourage you that Jesus Christ already knows what's going to happen. He's already got it under control, and our coming to Him and allowing Him to be the Lord of our lives means that we have a Lord who sees everything, knows the end from the beginning, knows where all the holes are that we could fall into, knows all the traps that the enemy lays for us. And if we just simply trust Him, He's going to get us through this thing. The Bible says He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, if you're coming to the Lord Jesus Christ because you think you're going to get something from Him, like that old saying that if you play a country song backwards, you get your truck back, get your dog back, get your wife back, and all that kind of stuff. Well, that's not true. That's not true any more than it is of coming to Jesus Christ and hitting the lottery, or thinking that all of a sudden you're going to have the American dream, two-car garage, a big pickup truck, a dog and a cat and three kids, and life's great, going to the PTA and all of that, because life happens. Life just simply happens. And our coming to the Lord Jesus Christ is not to get any kind of a monetary gain or a great physical existence on this planet. Our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, didn't even have a place to lay His own head. And the Bible says that we're to be like Him. He said, if they so persecuted Him when He walked this planet, they will us as well if we seek to live a godly life. But what does it say about things like riches and those things that we think that we should get because we come to Christ? Because listen, if you're coming to Jesus expecting those things and you don't get them, are you going to be disappointed and walk away and say it was all a lie? Listen to what it says. We're in 1 Timothy chapter 6, picking up in verse 1. I'm going to breeze through this chapter, but focus on a few things. Beginning in verse 1, let as many bondservants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and His doctrine may not be blasphemed. And those who have believing masters, let them not despise them because they're brethren, but rather serve them, because those who are benefited are believers and beloved. Teach and exhort these things. So, you know, don't take advantage of your employer just because he's a brother and think, well, he's a brother, you know, he'll let me go over there and, you know, I know last night was a rough night and I'm going to take a little nap over there in the corner on company time. Now, that's taking advantage of your brother. That's not what this is all about. You know, if you have a master who is a believer, honor them and be a good steward of the time that they pay you for. If you're a willing servant, if you're working for somebody and under their yoke, they're worthy of honor. Give them that honor. Okay, picking up verse 3. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud. That such a one is proud. He is knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, and evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such withdraw yourselves. Think about that. Okay, so these people that think they've arrived, and maybe they think that the mark of them having arrived or having a great relationship with Christ is the things that they have and their great knowledge, being puffed up in their great knowledge and being able to tell you, hey, you know, you don't understand this word. Let me tell you about this. Oh, you've got that all wrong. Let me show you this. And they want it to be their way. They want to be right. They just don't want to be seen as righteous in the Lord based on nothing more than them simply resting in Him and letting Him be the Lord of their lives. There's this desire to be right, the desire to have things and think that their self-worth is because of what they have, their great knowledge. And that usually ends up looking at people down your nose, looking at people as if they haven't quite arrived because maybe they don't have anything. Maybe they're not working. Maybe it's somebody on the streets who has lost everything. Maybe they're hopelessly in addiction without Jesus Christ or whatever. Now, He will turn that thing around in your life. But it's not so that you get all of this stuff and be filled with all kinds of knowledge and things like that. Because it says godliness with contentment is great gain. What you have when you come to the Lord, you may not be rich, but He will make sure that you have what you need. Not necessarily what you want, but what you need. Come to God for what He wants to give you and be content with whatever that is. And that is described here in the Word as great gain. Verse 7, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Verse 8, and having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. If you got food to eat and clothes to wear, thank God we got a roof over our heads, most all of us do here in America. Be content with that. It may not be the Taj Mahal, and we may not be eating caviar or filet mignon, but we have food. We got clothes to wear. It might not be a tuxedo, but we got clothes to wear. Be content with that. Verse 9, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. Your desires to have stuff is a trap to you. It's a snare, and it will raise in you those lusts that are foolish and harmful. You're going to try to find a way to make it happen. Why? For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Verse 10, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many arrows. But now here, speaking to us, if we are a man of God, a woman of God, but you, verse 11, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold of eternal life to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Listen to this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Those are fruits of the Spirit, brothers and sisters. This is what the Spirit is bearing in our lives if we truly are a child of God, giving Him His authority to let Him make it happen. We got to let Him do it. If we want it, we let Him do it. He will do it in us and through us. Verse 13, I urge you in the sight of God who gives life to all things and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing, which He will manifest in His own time. He who is blessed and the only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty. Don't trust in it, nor to trust in uncertain riches. They can go away at any time, but trust in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. And then let them do good, that they be rich in good works, not money, but in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing it for themselves, a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold of eternal life. Hallelujah. Those are things that we can count on. Those are things that we can take to the bank, folks. God has something for us that riches won't satisfy. You can have all the riches in the world and not be secure in your relationship with Christ. And, you know, when you die, like it says, we came into this world with nothing. Certainly, we're taking nothing out of it. Even the body that we have dies, goes into the ground, and returns to the dust of the earth. We have nothing here in this world, on this earth. God has something for us to far bigger, far greater. So I encourage you to just come to the Lord Jesus Christ for who He is. Let Him have complete control. Let Him have everything, trusting that He is going to fulfill within you the greatest need of all, that need of love, the love of a real daddy, a real father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you're a royal, part of the royal family, a blood-bought child of the living God. So get ready, saddle up, and let's get out there, and let's take the day for Him.